You are listening to KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Arbors, Minnesota. My name is Jackson Leon, and in the studio we have the return of Chris Swanson. How are we doing today?
I'm doing good, Jackson. It's been too long, but I'm glad to be back.
Yep. You bugged me one time last week. You wanted to come back on. I realized, yeah, it's definitely about time, especially with, Two Arbors is just, it changes so quick. There's so many things that are just coming up.
That's right.
And one thing that I've been seeing a lot on your Facebook is you down at the state capitol with legislation. So what's going on down there?
Yeah, that's a great thing to talk about. We've had just an awesome time going down to meet with all of our legislatures as well as all the other legislatures. There's a lot going on for our community and for Lake County in regards to that. So we've been down with students. We've been down with the chamber and Janelle Jones and just doing everything we can to really support four initiatives that are going on right now. As most people know, the first and most important one is that sales tax. They call it a local option sales tax that passed last year. That local option sales tax still requires the legislature to kind of rubber stamp it. So we're going down trying to get them to rubber stamp that 0.5%, which is infrastructure, basically. If you're in the community and you're buying something, it could be people from outside the community buying services within our community. When they pay that sales tax, that 0.5% goes into the infrastructure under our roads and alleys. And that's a big deal because that offsets the cost to the community. What's interesting about that, Jackson, I get a question on that a lot. Like last year when we did the CIP program, what happened? Where is that going to be less cost this year to the new people? And the answer is no, because we figured that in last year when we did the road projects, that might be available coming up. So the formula is not going to change. And the city, it's really the city portion of the cost that's picked up, which allows us to do more projects. So it's kind of a win-win for the community.
So with that sales tax, is there any estimate about how much money the city would be taking in from that?
Yeah, it's approximately $300,000 a year. And that money, of course, goes to pay bond payments is how that would work, which gets us more money. So if you think of it like maybe if you had to pay to get a credit card, if you had a credit card that had a line of credit for like $1,000, but they said you need to pay $100 to get that, basically what happens is we're able to go and get bonds with that $300,000 and make payments effectively. And that way that spreads out the cost of the infrastructure. We paid over 15 years. That makes it easier for everybody to pay that. And it makes it easier for our finance director to kind of cash flow analysis and see what that looks like for the community.
So that money goes a lot farther than it sounds initially, $300,000 then.
Exactly.
So what were some of the other things you were talking about with legislation?
The other big one is we really are focused on our aging infrastructure on the wastewater treatment plant. That's about an $18 million project to get that upgraded. It was built in the 50s. We are down to one pump that's working to move kind of all that waste through the system. We're also very concerned about any bypass that could occur because of what we call I&I, which is inflow and infiltration. That's water that gets into the sewer system through cracks or through some pumps pumping directly into the system. We did build, 2005, we built a 2.5 million gallon tank to kind of catch that. But some of the material we have now is a little more concentrated, so it takes a little longer to process that sewer and churn it into kind of pure water and get it back out into the lake. And so the issue there is simply that's a $20 million project. And so we're asking the legislatures to give us a $10 million bond, which is basically kind of like a grant. They have to pay for it out of their taxes and their debt. We don't as a community, which makes that cost a lot lower for all the users on the system.
So that seems like it's kind of a problem throughout a lot of Minnesota with wastewater treatment plants. I hear it sometimes with different communities through Minnesota having problems with those.
Yeah, really good point. When I was down talking with legislatures, they said, man, this year we're starting to get hit with more of these requests. And everybody's kind of come to the conclusion that there was a lot of sewer plants that were built back in the 50s. That was when they first started coming online. And then, of course, in the 70s as well. And so that really is aging infrastructure, right? So what happens now is you basically are losing you're losing that ability to keep that plant together, as we always say, bubble gum and duct tape. So that's a problem. for our community. And so with that bond, that cost of participation for any user on the system would keep that cost down. So working really hard, that's probably the biggest issue we got to get taken care of.
So with the sewage bill, is that something you're trying to get covered completely by legislation, or is that something that the people of Two Harbors would be paying some money on?
Well, there would be a little bit of user fee because it's a $20 million project. We would have to take that other $10 million and find ways to finance that as a city. And usually what that's financed through bonds, because you can't pay, the city doesn't have $10 million to write a check. And so that goes through bonds. And then how do those bonds have to be paid? That has to be paid through user fees.
Okay. What else are you talking about with legislator then?
Well, another big one is Castle Danger Brewery. Of course, everybody knows about Castle Danger Brewery. I dare anybody to go anywhere in the state and start talking about Two Harbors right now, and you're going to hear, oh my goodness, I've been up to Two Harbors, the Castle Danger Brewery, or your Castle Cream Ale. That's amazing. I was just down judging some DECA competitions, and that's all I heard from all the judges. So it's a big deal for our community. Most people don't know that they have what's called a growler cap. There's a law in the state of Minnesota that says if you're producing over so many barrels of beer, you can no longer sell growlers at your place of manufacturing. And that's a problem for Castle Danger Brewery, but it's a bigger problem for the city of Two Harbors, community of Two Harbors, I should say, because those growlers are what drives a lot of tourism in. We've noticed our sales tax have gone up and up and up because of that. And so that's a benefit to fixing roads and infrastructure, because that's additional money that goes to help pay for those bonds we talked about earlier, and that helps the cash flow. So the issue simply is we got to make sure that the law gets changed that allows for growlers still to be sold. I think Castle Danger this year is predicting they might they're going to move probably into the fourth largest brewery in the state. So that's a big deal, Jackson, and pretty exciting for our community.
What do you think the likelihood is of the law being changed on that?
Well, it's going to be tough. There's a big lobby out there. There's concerns. So what happens, it's called the three-tier distribution system, and we're not against that. We like that. But basically, usually what happens is a beer manufacturer or manufacturer makes what they're selling. They then have it driven by a truck to a distribution center. That distribution center then drives it by a truck to the local liquor store or bar, and that means jobs for all the people who have to transport all that. With growlers, you go to that place where they're manufacturing the beer, and basically you go pick up the growler, and the concern, of course, is that we're going to cut out these jobs. There's a lot of argument, though, that all these microbreweries that have been built, including Castle Danger Brewery, have created local economies. They've built up local economies. They've brought money back into a lot of the communities. That being said, it's kind of a big deal for our community because all that local money stays here. And it's a big deal for other communities that have those across the state of Minnesota.
So then the problem with that growler thing is then they can't sell the beer just straight from the back and then fill up a growler and then sell it. So regardless what happens, will they still be able to sell growlers at Castle Danger and it'll just be more expensive to do, or?
No, they literally won't be able to, if they start having to produce over that amount, they literally won't be able to sell a growler at Castle Danger Brewery.
I know a lot of people that would be pretty upset about that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's a big
it's
deal.
It's more than just a tax problem there, for
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
And then one more thing, you said there are four things that were big with legislation.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing for the region as a whole is basically a lodging tax. Many, many communities across Minnesota have figured this out a long time ago. It's been very successful. And what it is simply this. If you come and stay in a hotel in the area or in a vacation rental home, you basically, without realizing, are paying a sales tax, and you're also going to pay this 4% lodging tax. What happens then is 1% goes to festivals and 3% goes to marketing the area, and that creates a tremendous amount of economic strength. You see people coming in and staying. What I love about it is the festival aspect. I think a lot of people understand the power of Heritage Days and some of these other local festivals that we have. Brings in a few hundred people. The next thing you know, they're out in our restaurants eating food, going to different venues. All that money stays in our community. That's a big shot in the arm in a good way. And I really think that that's powerful. So that money gets collected, and how it works is if it's, like, say, Silver Bay is collecting that money, then that money would, of course, stay kind of up in that community. If it was Two Harbors collecting, it would stay in Two Harbors. But that's a powerful way to capture money and then capture the marketing, which it gives you enough dollars to really push kind of this great message. Jackson, I don't know if you saw recently, but there was a really cool video that was done on Facebook about Two Harbors.
Yeah, I saw that one. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah.
And that's exactly what can be done if you have the dollars to do that.
So then are we trying to pass that tax then?
Well, exactly, yeah. The state legislature has to approve it, and then the county has to approve it, and I think that's all kind of moving forward right now. So
there's two taxes we're trying to pass, as well as getting bonds for wastewater treatment and dealing with that whole growler situation.
I see the look on your face. Everybody else can because this is radio, but yeah, there's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot going on for a town of under 4,000, but it's better than having nothing going on, that's for sure.
That's absolutely right.
And one issue that I've been seeing from a lot of people, something that's come up in the community, is the whole outrageous utility bill that everyone's been getting. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Really kind of a big issue. You know, obviously we sent out an apology letter. What happened there is our software failed. We should have probably sent out a notification and said, you know, here's what happened. We're sorry, but it ended up being almost 7 weeks for the billing versus the normal four. We have a very light staff at City Hall that does all this heavy lifting, and they do a great job. We just missed on this one. But the bottom line is that we sent out an apology letter and we meant it, and we waived any late fees. And what people are telling me now is they actually really appreciated that, because that bigger bill, which had that polar vortex, I don't know if you remember how cold it was in January then when that happened, that allowed for them to pay that over kind of 2 months, so they can kind of spread it out. And then the bills that are coming now, of course, will be a lot smaller.
So what do people need to know going forth with utility bills they're going to get in the future? Is it just all that, the whole messed up utility bill thing, that's just kind of in the past and everything's going to move on as normal then?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they should know. Everything will go on as normal. They're not being billed any more than they would have been billed. It was just over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
One other thing that I think is a big thing to mention, Jackson, is you can go down to City Hall if you're in good standing with your utility bill, and you can apply for what's called a payment plan. And that's a big deal. I didn't realize so many people came to me and said, man, I'm so glad I'm on the payment plan. They weren't impacted by this at all. And what the payment plan does is they kind of just average every month your bill. So you just pay a set amount every single month. And at the end of the year, if you've overpaid, you get some money back. And if you've underpaid, of course, you have to pay a little more in. But that's a really good way to kind of budget. And people that are finding out about it, a lot of people didn't know this, and they're going, wait, I can do that? And the answer is, yes, you can. Go on down to City Hall or call them, 834-5631, and just say, look, I want to get on the payment plan. And they'll set that up.
And it's just straight up, whatever you've overpaid, you get all that back completely.
Yep, exactly.
That sounds like that's pretty useful for people who need to budget well.
Yeah, some people told me they've gotten a few hundred dollars back because they've overpaid, and so it's kind of like Christmas.
Yeah, it's like tax season number two.
Yeah, exactly.
So bringing it back to some of the discussions we've had on the other times you've been on the show, every single time it's always been like, all right, let's start with roads. This time we're ending with roads, I guess.
Yeah, awesome.
I
love roads. Infrastructure.
How's all that been updating?
Really well. Capital Improvement Plan. Which is our CIP, you'll hear that terminology a lot, is really any of the big capital projects that could be buildings, infrastructure, anything that the city has to work on where there's a big expenditure to get something solved. It primarily means roads, alleys, sidewalks. And I just want to point out that with this year, again, we're really committed. We were going to try to do a bunch of 8th Avenue work. So our capital improvement plan, we planned on doing quite a bit of work on 8th Avenue, Jackson. And what actually happened is we started looking at 8th Avenue, and we realized we have a water loop issue, which is basically one of the water mains has a single feed out from 8th Avenue. And what you want to do with water is kind of do a loop. So we'll be working on that this year. Hopefully working on that. We're going to do a feasibility study on fixing that. And then we'll come back hopefully to 8th Avenue next year. So we just kind of shifted some of the projects around the community, and that's a big deal. The other thing I want to make you aware of is the city has your sidewalk improvement program. Most people don't know about this program when I talk to them. So if you're located on an avenue, you can easily just call City Hall and get a form that you sign up asking for your sidewalks to be fixed in front of your home. And that's all the city that will come and do that. Last year, we knocked off almost all of those that were on the list. I've had some people contact me and say, wait, I was on a list like 10 years ago and I'm still waiting. Most likely you should go back down to City Hall and get back on that list again, because it probably means the form got lost or misplaced. But that is an opportunity. It's fairly inexpensive, and we've got the guys to get that done this summer.
So if somebody was on the list last year then and nothing was done last year, should they fill it out again? Or
I would absolutely tell them to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I think we talked about the utility bills. Thanks for bringing that up. Again, we apologize for what happened there, but I think everybody likes the outcome of that. We talked about our capital improvement plan and the sidewalk and how you can get your sidewalks fixed. And then, of course, we talked about all the things going on at the legislature. We've been really busy, Jackson, kind of behind the scenes. There's transportation meetings that have been going on. There's a lot of other things happening this time of year as we get ready for the busy season of summer.
And I always end interviews by saying this, you're a really open person to ask questions about. If anybody listening has anything that they'd like to talk with you about, how can they contact you?
There's multiple ways. My mobile phone number is 590-9500. You can also email me at mayorswanson@twoharborsmn.gov. You can message me on my Facebook, which is Mayor Chris Swanson. I'm open to however you want to reach out to me. I try to be very responsive. Sometimes I get caught up in the vortex of a ton of work that I have to do every day besides being mayor.
The vortex of life.
So if I'm not communicating right away, feel free to reach out to me again. If you have an issue that's still not resolved, which I've been hearing from a lot of people, that most things are getting taken care of very quickly. So hats off to our staff. But anything you're concerned by, feel free to reach out. We like to communicate.
All right. Thanks for coming in today, Chris.
Thanks, Jackson. I love the show.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The High School Show on KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. We'll be right back.